Welcome to another episode of Season of Sports with me, Azrin Begovic, where we're going to be talking about the NFL draft today, which is happening this Thursday, one of my favorite times of the year. And this is where I really geek out and nerd out and really get stuck into it. And so is my guest. I have the pleasure of Steve Belsheri joining me. He's a columnist for PatsFans.com, co-host on one of the podcasts that I listen to religiously, the Patriots 4th & 2 podcast. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Azmir, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and you can always talk me into talking about football.
So. I definitely didn't have to ask you twice to come on, so that was great, and I really, really appreciate that. But listen, like I said earlier, I think for me it's a great time of the year. I can't wait for the draft this year, especially. It's a welcome distraction from everything that's going on in the world today. So really looking forward to Thursday, and I'll probably even stay up to watch it this year with no training and quarantining. So I'm really, really excited. I mean, first things first, I guess it's going to be crazy with the whole virtual side of things. I mean, I would imagine they'll get their act together, but it's quite strange, isn't it?
It is. And they had like a test run yesterday, and I guess they had all kinds of problems. It started right away. They were doing like a test run of the actual draft. They started with Cincinnati since they're going to have the first pick. And I guess, you know, the system kept breaking down. And then they didn't identify the coach by name, but one of the NFL coaches was kicked off the internet because his kids are obviously home and they were all on the internet, and he used up all his bandwidth and it kicked him off. So the NFL lost contact with one of the head coaches.
It's going to be fascinating whether they can pull this off or not. I mean, you'd like to think that they can pretty much do anything these days, especially virtually and with the technology that we have, but nobody's perfect. So I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen the first pick, maybe later down the line, but you don't want the first pick to go down with any issues. But so I wanted to discuss three teams that I find very interesting in this draft. And then we're going to pick our top 10 picks, do a little bit of a mock draft, and that'll do us. So the three teams I want to touch on was obviously first and foremost our Patriots. You know, I think it's an interesting time for the Patriots now. You know, the well-discussed issue of Tom Brady leaving the Patriots and this potential retooling rather than rebuilding year for the Patriots. And you know, I'm fascinated what they do in this whole entire draft. To be honest, they have a lot of picks. What do you generally sense will happen with the Patriots throughout this draft? Do you see them trading a couple of these picks away for next year? What's your feeling going into the draft for the Patriots?
Yeah, you know, every year I think Bill loves to move around the board, and you know, he'll look at the board, and if he starts seeing a lot of, you know, guys that they have high on their draft board start to slide down a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them trade right out of the first round, because he feels like they could get some good value in that second round. And I believe that that's going to be true here. Excuse me. The other thing, the Patriots pick at 23 and then they don't pick again till 87. That's a pretty big gap because they don't have a second round pick this year with the Mohamed Sanu trade. So I think they're going to try to maneuver something. And people have been talking about Joe Tooney being traded for maybe a second-round draft pick. I don't know if they'd get that high of a pick for him. But I think they're going to try to maneuver their way into that second round, maybe package something together. And so they kind of ease that drop from 23 all the way to 87.
That would make a lot of sense. Definitely a logical move for the Patriots to make. I think they have probably too many picks as well. We talked about it on your Facebook Live podcast the other day. I think there's too many picks, too many players. There's not a cap space anyway. So I would imagine that they're going to do a little bit less with these picks and just get a few extra players and maybe package some of these picks to get up higher on the draft board. As you say, 23 to 87 is a big jump. So I don't think they're going to take that big of a gap. I mean, speaking of some of these picks, I mean, for the Patriots at 23, what's your prediction happening in that 23 slot?
Yeah, and again, it all will depend on how things play out in front of them. But I really believe if they stay at 23, they're going to go defense. I know a lot of people think they're going to try to move up and take a quarterback. I really don't see them doing that. I think they'll take a quarterback in this draft, but I think it'll be later rather than earlier. I really think they're going to go defense on this. They lost three really good linebackers in free agency this year. And, you know, a lot of the mocks that I've been involved with and seen play out, Kenneth Murray, the outstanding linebacker for Oklahoma, has been there right around 23. And I think he's a kind of a guy. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that could be an impact player for them right on day one of the NFL season. He's kind of like that Dont'a Hightower type of player. Not built like him, but he's that kind of impact guy that I think, you know, that could step in right away for them. He's the guy I would really, really love to see them pick up.
Yeah, I've listened to quite a lot of your podcast and just the stuff that you do, and you seem very much in love with Kenneth Murray. I guess my concern with him is, will he be there at 23? That was probably my biggest concern. But I, if he's around at 23, I definitely, I mean, what a pick that would be for the Patriots. That's for sure. I honestly thought maybe someone like an AJ Epenza would be around that area as well. I mean, he's an edge rusher from Iowa. We know Bill Belichick has some good relations with Iowa. So that's someone I see him taking. But I think we're both in agreement, you know, defense will be the priority. Moving on from Tom Brady, you have to kind of, you're not going to get that same quarterback right now anyway. And I definitely have the feeling the Patriots have a lot more gaps to fill this year through the draft. And then potentially, if they're in a good position next year, then just all the picks they're going to have again next year, maybe package them up and then get your Justin Fields or just get your Trevor Lawrence type quarterback, because those are difference makers. I don't see them being able to get that difference maker this year. Looking at some other gaps for the Patriots to fill, I mean, tight end is a glaring need. Do you expect the tight end, you know, likes of Bryant to be there at 87?
Yes, I do. I think Hunter Bryant, Harrison Bryant, Devin Asiasi out of UCLA, I think all three of those guys would be potential picks that they could, you know, maybe covet at that spot in the 87th pick. And, you know, I think those guys would be there, and I think they would fit in pretty well with what the Patriots like to do. I know a lot of people were really liking earlier in the draft talk Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame, Adam Trautman out of Dayton. I think those guys will go earlier. They'll probably go in the mid-second round time frame. So unless they were to maneuver and get something in the second, I don't think they'd have a shot at either one of those guys.
Yeah, as you said, maybe packaging those couple later round picks to get a second round pick will get them in that position. But interesting draft for the Patriots. You know, there's going to be some low round picks that are always going to make some noise for the Patriots. I mean, I always liked the wide receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't remember him from the All or Nothing series with Michigan. You know, someone like him who seems to be a big-time athlete, maybe get him in and develop him into something. So I'm always curious to see them, what they do in those lower rounds. But moving on to another team that's of interest to me, and I always find it fascinating when teams have multiple first-round picks, would be the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, they have the 5th pick, the 18th pick, and the 26th pick. How do you see them packaging those three picks together?
Oh, yeah. I think Miami's in tremendous shape, you know, looking at this draft. I mean, you have three first-round draft picks. They have two first-round draft picks next year. So, yeah. I mean, they're a team right now that can just go in any direction they want. I really think they're going to try to get their quarterback with the first pick, which is right now it's number 5. There's been rumors that they may try to slide up to number 3 because they're afraid that the Los Angeles Chargers might take the quarterback that they're coveting. Most people think it's Tua, from Alabama. A lot of people think it's Justin Herbert out of Oregon. I'm not really sure one way or the other. I've talked to some Miami beat writers. They kind of think it's Tua as well. So I think they'll be in good shape to get a guy like Tua at number 5. And then at 18, they need some help on the offensive line. And I think they would go for maybe like a tackle. There's still plenty available down there. And then, you know, at 26, the field's kind of wide open for them, isn't it?
Yeah. Running back could be an option. DeAndre Swift, those are the players. It's interesting you say that, because for a defensive coach to have three offensive picks in the first round, you know, I wonder if he might be one of those that'll jump at Kenneth Murray as a linebacker just to kind of shore up that defense even a little bit more. So I find the Dolphins situation fascinating. Done a great job in retooling and getting some of these assets in there. And I agree with you. I have Tua going at five. So they're fascinating to me. The third team that I wanted to touch on with you is the Las Vegas Raiders. One, because I'm fascinated with John Gruden and Mike Mayock and see what they're going to do. But they obviously have a couple of draft picks as well in the first round. I see them going with receiver, you know, the likes of CeeDee Lamb, maybe Marlon Davison after that out of Auburn. I mean, what do you see the Las Vegas Raiders doing?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And we know the Raiders just love to have speedy wide receivers. That's always been their big thing. And, you know, when I'm looking at the Raiders to start with, I mean, there's a lot of ways they can go with this. And I think, you know, you could go I had them taken at number 12, Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama. Yeah. But, I mean, if CeeDee Lamb's still there, you know, Henry Ruggs, I could see them going either of those three guys. And I really like Jeudy because he's like when I look at him, he was the Biletnikoff winner in 2018. Very, very productive. And I think he's probably the most polished out of all of the wide receivers. And there's some really, really good ones. But again, I think if you take any of those three guys with that, you know, that early pick of theirs, I think you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's just a case of who's there and who isn't really. That I agree with you on that front. But since Amari Cooper left, they really kind of need to fill that void. Now, you know, they've got the quarterback situation with Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota one way or another. They've got their running back invested in Trent Brown last year. So I think wide receiver is the way to go for them. And it's a big need. Steve, moving on to our mock draft. So I'm going to want to go through the first 10 picks with you. I know you probably talked about it like crazy, but let's assume there's no trades. As you say, I'm sure that the Dolphins and Chargers could be looking to do something. But we'll go with the order as it is at this moment in time. First two picks, I've got Bengals taking Joe Burrow from LSU and the Redskins taking Chase Young from Ohio State. What do you have?
And same two. I did a mock draft with Derek Havens, who also a Pats fans blogger, and we went through this, and we were both totally in agreement with you right there. I think that's a no-brainer. Those two guys are going first.
Yeah, it seems like those are the natural fits. I mean, the Redskins, I thought, might go for a quarterback, but now that they've traded for Kyle Allen, that means they'll go with him, Dwayne Haskins, those sort of guys will be there. So I don't see them going for a quarterback unless you really, really get surprised. Now, going to the Lions at number three and the New York Giants at number four, it's been obviously widely reported that the Lions are all over Jeff Okuda, the cornerback from Ohio State. But the Giants are interesting because they could go a couple different ways. I have them going with sort of the hybrid player, Isaiah Simmons, who might fit nicely in their linebacker position. What do you have at three and four?
Yeah, I also had Jeff Okuda, the cornerback. I think that's especially after losing, you know, they traded away Darius Slay. I think that's just a no-brainer for them where, you know, you have to get an impact corner, and I think he's a really good one. With the Giants, I went the other direction. I know they need help on the offensive line. I went Tristan Wirfs, the tackle from Iowa.
Okay, interesting, interesting. I guess that makes sense to kind of protect Daniel Jones a little bit and Saquon Barkley kind of help that side of the game. So I can definitely see your logic in that spot for the Giants. And Tristan Wirfs is a really good player, actually. I've got a number five. Obviously, I've got the Dolphins taking Tua, the quarterback from Alabama. And I've got the Chargers taking Justin Herbert, the quarterback out of Oregon. I don't see the Chargers picking in that spot again in the future. And I think if you're in that position, you can get somebody who you can develop. I know they're, well, they all say they're into Tyrod Taylor for the upcoming season, but that could be a nice mix, you know, Tyrod Taylor and then kind of groom Justin Herbert around, behind him. What do you think?
Yeah, in fact, I have the same two players. I have the Dolphins going with Tua and the Chargers going with Justin Herbert. And like you said, with Tyrod Taylor there, there's not going to be a lot of pressure to start Herbert right away, and it will give him time to learn the offense, especially this time, you know, with this year, with everything that's going on in the world, there might not be like OTAs. There might not even be mini camp this year. So these guys might not hit the field until training camp. So this way there, it's going to allow him to develop.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be a really nice situation for him, actually. They've got a really, really good team as well. So he wouldn't have to throw him into the deep end like Joe Burrow is going to have to go go into with the Bengals. So I think it could be a really nice fit. Panthers at 7. I've got Derek Brown, defensive tackle out of Auburn. And the Cardinals, I've got at number 8, taking Jedrick Wills, the tackle from Alabama.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on 7 and 8?
Yeah, at 7, that's where I have Isaiah Simmons going, the linebacker from Clemson. And number 8, Jedrick Willis, yeah, we're in firm agreement there. I think they need a tackle to protect Kyler Murray, and I think he's a really, really good one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's interesting, obviously, with Panthers, you say that, because I guess Luke Kuechly retiring, they're going to need someone in those positions now to groom, I guess, and become the next leader of the defensive unit. Number 9, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number 10, the Cleveland Browns. See, I've got the Jags who seem to be doing the first team in the tanking era, I guess, well, the tanking job with the goal of getting Trevor Lawrence, it looks like, because they've put Leonard Fournette on the trading block, it looks like. So they're definitely trying to tank and go for one of those quarterbacks next year. But I've got him taking Jerry Jeudy at 9. And then I've got Tristan Wirfs at number 10 for the Browns, because the Browns desperately need offensive line help.
Yeah, at 9 with the Jaguars, I got them taking C.J. Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida. And then at 10 with the Cleveland Browns, that's where I have Derek Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn, going.
Yeah, so I think this could be a really good mix. You know, like I said, I think we know that the offensive line is something that the Cardinals need to address, something the Browns need to address. Which way it's going to fold, we'll wait and see. So I know I appreciate your top 10 picks. I mean, just to finish off here, Steve, give me one sleeper player, you know, like I wouldn't say the likes of Lamar Jackson at 31, you know, when he goes to the Baltimore Ravens, but who's going to become an MVP, but just maybe a little bit of an under radar player who's maybe going to go down to the bottom of the first round, but you think he's going to have a huge impact in the NFL.
Well, I don't know if he's going to have a huge impact, but I think this guy might be under the radar for the Patriots, and that's James Morgan, the quarterback out of Florida International. You know, I read a lot of pre-draft stuff, and one of the guys that I read said he's this guy's pick as the small school stud in the draft this year. He has the frame. He had a really good East-West Shrine Bowl game, you know, when the best of the college football players all get together. He's a guy, again, I think, you know, the Patriots aren't going to draft a quarterback early. I don't expect to see him early, but he's a guy I could conceivably see in the very late, you know, 4th, 5th, maybe even 6th round, you know, picking up as a quarterback. And he's an interesting dude. I think he can play, but we don't know if he can play at this level yet. So he'll have time to develop.
I've heard that name actually being floated around quite a bit recently. So I'm interested to see. I always find it fascinating, especially this day and age, how someone like that could drop in the 4th and 5th round, because the amount of material they can get on players is incredible. So, you know, for him to drop that far, it will be interesting. But anyway, I mean, let's see what happens with him. But Steve, it's been a pleasure. Steve Belsheri joining me here from PatsFans.com to preview the 2020 NFL Draft. Steve, it's been a pleasure. You're a gentleman. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the offer to come on. And anytime, my friend, and stay safe.
Thank you.